When you think about tourism in Wisconsin, do you also think about the state's Native American communities, the powwows, the casinos, the museums, different cultural events and outdoor treasures? We will talk about experiencing Native American culture and heritage with Wisconsin's 11 sovereign tribes during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August 22nd. Have you attended a powwow or other cultural festival in a tribal community in Wisconsin? Do you have a favorite outdoor place or activities that take place on the different Indian reservations in Wisconsin? Do you want to learn more? Call us with your questions and with your experiences and tell me where to go. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Ernest Stevens III, Executive Director of Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So, first off, why should we consider tourism experiences with Wisconsin's Native American tribes?
Well, I think the first thing is, we have 11 tribes that are spread across the entire state. But I think the thing about it is we're very welcoming. You know, we want people to visit us. We want people to experience our culture and the events that we have year-round. So it's just a matter of, you know, it's not necessarily just an economical partnership that we have with the state and its visitors, but it's just, you know, education. You know, it's education, it's the experience, the lifelong learning aspect of things that I think people can really expand upon when they you know, visit us and experience us. They can really learn a lot about our culture and, you know, about our people. And so I think that's just as important as providing that tourism experience, you know, and I think that's a unique aspect to it. But of course, you know, just to be able to enjoy the natural resources is also a big part of it that we all share too in Wisconsin.
Well, I hope to talk about a lot of that, but you touched on it. But talk a little bit more on why the tribes encourage tourism.
Well, you know, I think that the one saying that I've always had is, you know, a lot of people, they think of tribes, you know, across the country. And of course, in Wisconsin, they think of, you know, casinos and things like that. They have a certain image of what Native Americans are, who we are. And so one big part of it, too, is to let them know that there's a lot more to us than that. There's a lot more to experience. And a lot of tribes are sort of expanding those efforts. You know, we do have powwows, of course, that go year-round. Every tribe has a powwow, and they're all, you know, they all have a unique experience and good time. But again, I've always said that, you know, it goes beyond just finding that one reason to come here. It's just, it's everyone in Wisconsin who visits here, I should say within and outside of Wisconsin, they like to experience the same things that they go to, you know, Illinois or Minnesota or Michigan for. You can experience those same things here. But again, it's about the people too, you know, meeting new people and really, you know, understanding that we do welcome you. We do welcome visitors from all over the world, frankly, you know, to experience what we have. And I guess there's a lot of directions you can take it, but I think it's really about, you know, just people understanding who we are. And that, if you want a little bit of the same, you can find it here. But if you want a little bit something new, a little bit different, mm-hmm. you can find that too.
Well, I certainly want to talk about the different tribal communities and what is being offered all over the state of Wisconsin. But you mentioned the partnership with the state. That's one thing that I noticed on the State Department of Tourism's website was that there was a meeting recently, and you do have a partnership with the state. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, the State Department of Tourism, you know, we have a wonderful relationship. Friendship, you know, we promote each other's venues and things like that. But we are actually, you know, the way I see it, we are a direct partner simply because, you know, Wisconsin tourism is kind of one thing, and Native tourism is an aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to be separate. We don't want to be competitive. You know, we just see ourselves as a part of the big picture when it comes to Wisconsin tourism. So we want to provide the option. So I think on one level, the partnership lies in, you know, even just the marketing promotion of events. Because, again, you know, tribes have the non-tribal partners as well. And we have amenities that are right down the road that Wisconsin Tourism promotes. And so we all kind of, you know, work together to cross-promote and joint market and things like that. But it's also, you know, we actually are funded by the state as well. So we share in, I guess we share in a lot of things on different levels, but ultimately how I see it is we're here to help each other expand tourism. We're all in the same industry. So that's how I see the partnership. And of course, you know, right now with, you know, Stephanie Klett at the state, you know, she's been very, very good for us and always promotes us every chance she gets, and we do the same. And so we just have a good friendship, you know. And
we will continue to talk about the different American Indian reservations in Wisconsin and the different things that we can do on the different reservations. But since Ernest, I just that sounds of a powwow that you heard as I started the program, that came from the Oneida powwow, which I think happens around the 4th of July. For those who are uninitiated, what exactly is a powwow?
Well, a powwow is pretty much, it may differ all over the country, even the state, but the powwow at the end of the day is it's just a celebration. You know, it's a festival. And, you know, I think the one thing people, you know, need to understand or we'd like to them to understand is the fact that it's welcoming. You know, we want to increase our non-tribal participation. You know, right now our audiences across these different powwows are, you know, most of the other natives from other states and across the state. And so there's a lot to be experienced there.
What happens at a powwow?
Well, you know, you have one of the biggest parts is you have the concessions. You know, you have a lot of different things that go along during the powwow, but as far as what's, you know, specifically offered, you have concessions, you know, Native American foods, you know, traditional foods, contemporary foods. You know, obviously you have like fried bread, and one of the biggest things is people love the Indian tacos, you know, so you can find those at powwows. Just trying to, you know, offer, you know, sort of supplemental events like at our powwow at Oneida. We now do lacrosse exhibitions. You know, people can experience a traditional lacrosse game. So we're trying to expand the experiences. You know, but I think the back one of it is of course the song and dance. You know, so you go there, and as you mentioned, you play the music in the beginning. You know, the power of that drum. You know, that's, you know, as we call the heartbeat of our people, and so it's one thing that transcends all tribes. You know, different tribes have different ways of you know, I guess, perpetuating their culture and practicing their culture. The powwow is a way to come together in a very, you know, celebratory fashion, you know, and utilize that drum in the different types of dances. So I can break down those dances as well because, you know, again, we have contest powwows, we have exhibitions. But I think one of the funnest parts about the powwow when it comes to the dance is what we call intertribals, and that's where we invite everyone out. You know, wherever you're from, you don't have to be a dancer, a singer. You can just be, you know, a person at the powwow and there to observe. And you can come out and you can walk, you can dance, you can do whatever kind of dance you want. But it's a way to, you know, again, celebrate that community and invite everyone else out to participate. So,
yeah, sounds like fun. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll continue talking about powwows, I want to talk a little bit about some that are coming up soon that you might be able to participate in. And we'll talk about other things that we can see and do and learn in the state's Native American communities. We are talking about experiencing Native American culture during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. And I wonder if you've done this before. Have you attended a powwow or some other cultural festival in a tribal community? Do you have a favorite place to hike or explore that happens to be on one of Wisconsin's Indian reservations? What experiences have you had or do you recommend? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is a Native American culture edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We are celebrating Native American culture in Wisconsin and finding out the many things to see and do and learn on tribal lands in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Ernest Stevens III, the Executive Director of Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. And we heard another little clip from the Oneida powwow, and it sounded like the announcer was welcoming people to everybody come in as one. I thought I heard him saying, Ernest Stevens, that might have been where everybody can get up and dance.
Yes, yes. Every time they do that, you know, they have planned inter travels, but they also kind of at certain points just have one. You know, if there's a time break or something like that, and the announcer just simply welcomes everyone out. You know.
It sounds like fun. So are there some powwows coming up anytime soon?
Yes. The one big one I would highly recommend to attend. It's a good experience to, you know, get a glimpse of more in general a Native American experience. There's of course the powwow itself, but the Indian Summer Festival coming up September 5, 6, and 7. That's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Lakefront Festival Grounds, where Summerfest is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably one of the most comprehensive events that you can experience. A number of things. And I would highly recommend that.
Yeah. What's going on? You said it was the Indian Summer Festival.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep. They're here for about. Oh, geez, about nearly 30 years they've been having this festival. And, you know, as you may know, they have a lot of different similar festivals, the Mexican Fiesta, Italian Fest, and things like that.
Right, the city of festivals. And so this is on the lakefront. And what sorts of things can we experience there?
Well, you know, again, specifically to the powwow, the powwow is merely an aspect to the festival, so you can find that. Every day, you know, all day there's breaks, but of course it's a typical powwow there. You have lacrosse exhibitions, you know, where some of the youth could even participate in that, and that's on the north side of the festival. Then you have just like, of course, all the concessions and the foods. You have some dance presentations in what's called the Native American Village. And of course, this year the theme is a Horse Nation celebration, and so we have our new Champ, the boxing horse, which is one of our new mascots, that'll be on the festival grounds that kids can take pictures with. And so we're just trying to do, you know, a number of things to promote Native Wisconsin, but it's also to, you know, really promote, Indian country as well, as we call it. So,
this sounds great. And I have that weekend free. I think I might have to experience this. Tell us about the horse mascot. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, I also happen to sit on the Indian Summer Board, you know, and so we have planning meetings and things like that. And we thought of how do we make it more of a family experience and draw more people in, you know. And so we discussed really making it more fun. I mean, it's really fun as it is, but, you know, again, how do you make it fun in a way that, you know, the kids could remember and can take something with them. So we thought, well, let's give them kind of like a, you know, sort of a Disney-like experience and create characters that they can relate to. And, you know, with all these issues going around nationally, we, you know, create positive mascots. And so this year, having decided the theme be Horse Jason Celebration, we thought let's create a fun horse character that can go around and greet people and take pictures and things like that. So it's a small step, but I think it'll mm-hmm. it'll prove to be a significant one, you know, to make it just more memorable experience for especially the kids, of course, you know, families.
And the, you know, I'm going to embarrass myself and admit that I did not know that the significance of lacrosse, and that it is, lacrosse was created, invented by the Iroquois, I think. So this is truly a Native American sport.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it was, as we say, it was given to us by the Creator. You know, and the literal reason was to you know, keep our communities healthy. So, you know, it's just like any sport. You know, you use it to get healthy and get healthier and remain maintain an active lifestyle. And so, but yes, it was invented by us. You know, we used it to you know, again, just for years, hundreds of years, we've been playing this game. And so you really see a rise of it now in popularity with the, of course, you know, the Thompson twins. If you do a little Googling on lacrosse, you might find some information of the Thompson Thompsons out east and what they're doing for the game. But, you know, again, we've been around for a long time, and lacrosse has been a part of that. So it's good to see its popularity increase, and we're just trying to celebrate that as well.
And then can I get some fry bread at the Indian Summer Festival?
Oh, certainly. You know, and it's kind of an inside, I guess I'll call it an inside joke or friendly competitive nature, but a lot of different, well, you know, whether it be families, you know, even certain family-owned stands that will say they have the best fry bread. And so I think at the end of the day, it's all delicious. But if you want to sample a few different types of fry bread, of course, you'll have you know, plenty of options, you know, at the festival.
So what's the best fry bread, Ernest? I'll push. No, I'm just kidding, because you can't say, I'm sure. But tell us the I guess the history of fry bread.
Well, you know, I'll be perfectly frank. You know, the fry bread itself is more of a contemporary, you know, fun type of food. It has no real traditional value. You know, to our people, you know, it was basically used, you know, it was a government-issued food, you know, back in the early years, you know, alongside other canned food and things like that. So it was provided to us as a commodity-type food.
I didn't know that,
Yeah, just learned to use it and made the best of it. And so it's kind of like, you know, I guess a lot of foods are nowadays that you just take it and you make you get creative with it. And so we have Indian tacos, but we also have you know, I've seen people make fried bread dumplings, which has started to make me get pretty hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Fried bread burgers, you know, things like that. So it's just it's a contemporary creative type dish. You know, it's just flour, you know, fried. So I wouldn't say it's the healthiest, but it's certainly one of the most delicious things you can eat.
Yeah.
You can get creative with it. So
what do you want, because we have just a minute or so before a news break, and then we will be back, but what would you like people to walk away learning or feeling once they've gone to the Indian Summer Festival or something similar?
Yeah, it's just the welcoming factor. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, they sometimes may get the impression that they're not welcome at these festivals, and they certainly are, you know. And again, just to throw a couple more dates out there. The 38th annual Mohican Powwow is coming up August 8th to 10th. And the, of course, the St. Croix traditional wild rice powwow, August 22 to 14th. So again, there's a lot more of those coming up, but I think it's just a matter of knowing that there's a lot to do. There's a lot of unique powwows among these 11 tribes. Some tribes have more than one per year, and they want to see you. They want to meet you. They want you to be a part of them. And so I think it's the most important thing to understand is you're welcome at these festivals, and we certainly welcome anyone to experience them and come in and ask questions, get involved, jump in on the intertribals, you know, eat the food, meet elders, meet dancers. You know, we're all just like, you know, everyone else. You know, we're human beings.
Let me hold you there because we have our news break coming up, and then we will be back. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will continue talking about Native American tourism in Wisconsin in just a few moments, and we will welcome your questions and your experiences about perhaps the powwows that you have attended or the other cultural events, museums, outdoor treasures that you might have visited on any of Wisconsin's 11 Indian reservations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's time now for Wisconsin Life. The list of what makes Wisconsin special is endless. Writer Jill Sasson Quinn tells us about what is for her Earth's most perfect place.
There is a perfect place on Earth, shelter number 3 at Mosky Basin Campground in Isle Royal National Park. There, rock meets water like the sloped back of a dog in a play bow. This campsite will make you change your itinerary. At sunup, you will leave your pack in its shelter and opt for a day hike instead of moving on, so you can stay another night, wake another morning. The shelter's graffitied inner walls tell of moose sightings. In the woods nearby, you find a moose femur from a wolf kill that happened at this very spot, which you read about before coming. There are approximately 750 moose on this island of 206 square miles. You do the math and get excited. You walk 17 miles, eyes peeled. You see fresh tracks. You pass a pair of hikers that have just seen one lumbering off in the brush. You encounter a secluded swamp, what you perceive as perfect moose habitat. If you were a moose, you would hang out here. Your hiking companion suddenly embraces you. She has seen a moose. You peer in the direction of her finger, but she has already reneged. It was an illusion. Its rump a stump. Its rack a rock face. Back at Mosky Basin, someone has taken the small colored length of rope you strung beneath the eaves as a clothesline, but left all your other things, your ultralight tent, your expensive backpacking stove. You forgive them, imagining scenarios in which they really needed it, a sunken towline, a broken boot. Your feet and calves are sore. Mother Nature has prepared a 2,903 cubic mile ice-cold foot bath for you. The water is more clear than the iron-tinged, salt-softened water that would fill your tub at home. You lie on your stomach, chin on hands, back to the lake, looking happily at the humble three-sided hut where you will spend the night, only a thin screened wall separating you from the forest. And that is when you see it. A tiny, fat, neon-green thing cruising across the rock. It's the kind of caterpillar you can understand a bird's desire for, plump like a ripe berry and green like a leafy vegetable and likely packed with protein. It is no doubt uncomfortable, bright and obstacle-free as its course is, for a keratin beak could snap it right up at any moment. It is a tobacco hornworm. You watch its persistent trek from one side of the curved rock face to the other, as if it were some sort of alien covering an entire hemisphere of a foreign planet. You have seen one before, at home, in your own woods, but with the energy that powers the solar system emanating down on you and up through you, it looks different. Your vision has become telescopic, your lens fine-tuned. You came to look for a moose, but you don't need a moose to sustain you. All you need is sun, water, stone, and something green and lovely. This caterpillar will be just fine, thank you very much.
Well, that sounds fascinating. Jill Sasson-Quinn is a nature writer and teacher in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin. And I often tell you or ask you to tell me where to go to experience something special about Wisconsin. In this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, we are celebrating Native American culture in Wisconsin and finding out the many things to do, to see, to learn on tribal lands with the state's 11 sovereign nations. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your own recommendations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Ernest Stevens III is the Executive Director of Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. And the group's website, Native Wisconsin, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so you can check out the many, many different things that are going on. And we have full lines right now, Ernest. So let me go to the phones and start getting some listeners on. Jeff on Madeline Island is with us. Hi, Jeff. Well, we just heard about Madeline Island on our Wisconsin Life essay.
Good morning, Joy. It's time to come to the island.
I've been to the island, but not for an extended period of time, so that sounds wonderful.
I've been up here for years and years, and I sell real estate on the island and in Bayfield, and we've got lots of Native American things on Madeline Island, including a historical cemetery on the lake down by the marina where they have a powwow around Memorial Day, and in one of my old front yards on the island, one of my houses, that there's a plaque where there used to be a treaty, 1854, where the Chippewa band deeded all their lands in Wisconsin, basically to the white man in 1854. That treaty hall burned down, but I like to call that the biggest real estate deal that it just gives you the shivers to think about the magnitude of that. And now I saw little chunks of the island from what they gave us. So it's just a historical place. And Tommy Venom of the Smithsonian has a house on Madeline Island, and he wrote a couple books on the Ojibwa tribe and Native Americans. And he wrote a book on lacrosse and wild rice.
Wow, we'll have to check that out. Jeff, thank you very much. So in that Madeline Island, far northwestern Wisconsin area, Ernest, is that the Bad River Chippewa?
Yes, it's actually probably, proximity-wise, probably right in between where the Bad River is located and the Red Cliff tribe.
Oh, the Red Cliff, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say it's a little closer to Red Cliff. Red Cliff overlooks the point there, a little closer to the Apostle Islands as well. Which actually kind of, you mentioned it, is good timing. So if the folks listening still have open time on their calendar this weekend, the 35th annual Bad River Festival takes place this weekend. So,
well, speaking of which, we have Betty in Bayfield who is aware of that. Hi, Betty.
Hi. And he did mention that the Bad River powwow is this weekend, and Madeline Island is very close to Red Cliff, and actually Red Cliff has the first tribal national park on the reservation that there are hiking trails and so on there. We also have a campground and marina, and they also do rough camping, out at Point Detour, which is on the very tip of the peninsula going into the lake. Other things we have is commercial fishing, and Peterson's has a little fish stand where you can get fresh fried fish. We have our casino, but it's about 12 miles away from the ice caves. So a lot of people were there this winter and stayed on the res and went up there to view that spectacular event this year.
Well, I will tell you, Betty, that when we went to the ice caves, I did check with the hotel that's affiliated with the casino, and it was booked, so I couldn't get in there. So it was apparently a lot of people did stay there.
Well, it's right on the shores, and you can see Basswood Island from there. And the marina does do transient, I believe, and it's one of the safest ones in the area, just because it's in the bay there.
And I'm glad you brought up this national park. That is on my list of things to do and should be on everybody's list of things to do. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Have you been there?
I've walked on the trails. I haven't, done a big hike there, but it does go down to the lake. And I know that a lot of the youth in the area and our wardens maintain it, and it's quite spectacular.
Yeah. So there's some spectacular natural areas, including a national park on Wisconsin's tribal lands, Ernest.
Yes, there's a lot of very similar things. And, of course, if you're looking for scenic, if you're looking for serene, there's a lot of, again, diverse options. If it's the big lakes you want, I'd highly recommend, Bad River, Red Cliff, going back to the hotel itself. If you can get a room there, of course, every room overlooks, the Lake Superior, and you can see the islands from there. And so, again, very little intricate things, but important things for visitors that, if you want to experience those kinds of elements, there's certainly many options, lakefronts, rivers and things like that. So if it's nature you want, there's definitely options.
Well, I know the Tell Joy Where to Go assignment last year, it was last September, in fact, I was invited to go to the Apple Fest, I believe it's called, the Apple Fest on the Oneida Indian Reservation near Green Bay. And what a blast that was.
Yeah, the Big Apple Fest, September 20th. It's a free event, very family-driven. It's been improving every year, and that's put together by Oneida Tourism and some of those folks at Oneida. And it's just an event that you can go to and, really experience a bunch of things that not only are really traditional to Oneida, but traditional to Wisconsin. You have people who can do apple presses, and I believe they have an annual apple pie contest, things like that just make it fun. It talks about the cultural history of, of the apple crop itself, so.
Well, we will talk, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will talk about some other festivals and powwows, and maybe talk about some museums and other outdoor life things that we can experience in Wisconsin's tribal communities. This is a Native American culture edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We welcome your questions. We welcome your suggestions and recommendations at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Ernest Stevens III, the Executive Director of Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales Corners, Slade's Corners, Abel's Corners, Newberg Corners, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Fortville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smelled that dairy air, hey, once about Claire, hey, thought I saw a bear, hey.
So this is a Native American culture edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Kerdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Have you attended a powwow or a cultural festival or some other activity or outdoor place on one of the Indian reservations in Wisconsin? Call in with your experiences or your questions and tell me where to go. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Ernest Stevens III, the Executive Director of Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. And I wanted to talk about a couple of other events that I notice on various calendars here. Let's talk about Wild Rice Fest in Lac des Flambeaux, or festivals that are tell us about wild rice, Ernest.
Yes, wild rice, you know, is I guess what many would call a cornerstone element to our diet going back hundreds of years, you know, especially with the Ojibwe people. You know, of course, among those 11 tribes in Wisconsin, six of them are diverse Ojibwe tribes that have been in this general area for, you know, again, hundreds of years, going back before any contact with outside, you know, people were in the state. And so wild rice, you know, as a part of that history, it's been, you know, a part of the diet since the beginning of that time, you know, and it's it can be grown and harvested, you know, in and near the waters of Wisconsin. And so all these tribes, you know, have been doing it for years. And this fest, you know, on September 13 in Lac des Flambeaux, you know, celebrates that. And so, again, you have a cooking contest. There's actually a pie eating contest. Healthy Native American food vendors, stuff for the kids, you know, all sorts of things. And so it's a very specific festival that celebrates the history and the importance of wild rice.
Yeah. And now maybe this is a part of what we just talked about, but I see that there is this weekend the St. Croix Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are hosting a wild rice festival too.
Yes, you know, of course, those are two. You know, Lac des Flambeaux and St. Croix, you know, two of those, you know, Chippewa nations. So, again, to specify, the Ojibwe nations, also known as Chippewa nations here in Wisconsin. Again, they're two different communities.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own rights, but they're bound by that one main thing, of course, is wild rice. And so they all have ways of celebrating. Of course, Mole Lake has their celebrations as well, and Bad River. If you look at their 35th annual powwow, which actually goes on at the same time, they call it the traditional powwow and Manoman canoe race celebration. Manoman is the Ojibwe word for wild rice.
Oh,
so again, it's I would say a heart and soul of you know, the people in that area and those Ojibwe tribes. It's been sustaining them for, I guess, in hundreds of years. So.
Besides these really, you know, big festivals that we certainly would want to investigate, what else can we do on reservations or tribal communities besides these big scheduled events?
Yes, and you know, there's plenty to do. I think the one thing a lot of people like to do is, of course, visit the museums and culture centers. And so, you know, there's the Oneida Nation Museum here in Oneida, just outside of Green Bay. You have the Chippewa Valley Museum in Eau Claire, Forest County Potawatomi Historical and Cultural Center in Crandon. And then, of course, you have the big display at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And then the Lakota Ray Tribe, otherwise known as LCO, up near Hayward, they're about to open their new museum and cultural center. And so there's options for that as well. You know, and there's a lot of different communities have, you know, sort of displays and exhibits as well that you can find across Wisconsin. And there's just, you know, other various things to do, and it just depends on what you're looking for. And there's ATV trails and Bad River, you know, canoe rides. Of course, you go back up north to Red Cliff, you have the Apostle Island, you know, kayak and canoe rides, things like that. But I would just recommend people, you know, visiting, you know, our website, nativewisconsin.com. And, of course, we have our events calendar there, and we have a little bit of information on the tribe itself. Because the thing is, too, what I have to mention is there is plenty to there's also plenty of opportunity. So part of what I've been working on is working with these 11 tribes and figuring out what else can we create, what else can we develop, you know, to expand the visitor's experience. And so that's a big part of what we're doing, too, is, you know, just trying to create more tourism and more amenities to experience that will make people want to go visit them. So,
yeah, is there anything that non-Native people, tourists, should know about, I guess, anything that we should know about when we visit a reservation? Any, I don't know, etiquette that we should be following or things that we should keep in mind?
Well, certainly, you know, I mean, just to kind of keep in mind, too, that you know, we are very welcoming, but we also hold our land. It's a great value. I know a lot of communities do as well. So I wouldn't say it's any you know, different from a lot of them. You know, just respecting the land, you know, because other thing to consider, too, is aside from the United Tribe, no other tribe really has, you know, a structured tourism, you know, element to them. It's just a matter of visiting them. And in some cases, like if, like, for example, a prime example, if you wanted to experience wild racing, there's not necessarily an amenity to do that. And so, you know, obviously one wouldn't be able to just go grab a canoe and go out there and do some wild racing. You would have to, you know, contact the tribal offices and just request that, you know, someone could take you out. I'm sure they would accommodate that. So it varies among the tribes, but I think, you know, we certainly don't want you to feel like you have to get permission to come to our tribes. But I think it just comes down to respecting the land and the elements that are on the reservation. But again, we're welcoming, so we'd love you to contact our tribal offices and you know, people can take you in on a tour. If there's something specific you're looking for, you know, we can certainly find it and get you there and, you know, get you to experience that.
Yeah, here we go. Jerry on Facebook, this might be a nice closing comment. I have attended many tribal events and celebrations across Wisconsin and have yet to feel anything but a welcoming spirit. And if anyone would like to attend a wholesome and family-oriented gathering, go to a powwow. What great fun. And the dancing is beautiful. And he goes on to say that the only thing that that he's got to watch out for is the fry bread. It's so good, but bad for his waistline. So that's nice.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely delicious. You know, just it'll get you.
Well, we will check it out. Ernest, thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ernest Stevens, the third Executive Director of Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. Thanks to Christy Taylor and Justin Williams for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.